On behalf of the Swanson family, I want to welcome you. This week I had an opportunity to hear a song that Del and Mary and the kids really love. So we're going to start off our service today by playing this song called The Journey. Listen to the words. I think you'll be moved. It'll be a good way to set the tone for our time together.
He was old school in overalls, tough as nails as I recall. He fought a war and came back home, honest as the day was long. And right before my grandpa died, he looked me right straight in the eyes. Said, here's some words to get you by, to help you on journey of your life. You'll need a hero and a good dog, especially a good dog, a hammer and a handsaw, handmade now and then. You'll need a home to come home to, some of y'all need a refuge on the straight and narrow path. You need to learn to bend, but get a good square and keep it level. Have grace to face the devil. You'll need an angel flying by your side on the journey of your life.
Journey of your life. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the source of all mercy and the God of all consolation. He comforts us in all our sorrows so that we can comfort others in their sorrows with the consolation we ourselves have received from God. When we were baptized into Christ Jesus, we were baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we gather this morning, we are ever mindful of your presence in our lives. We remember before you our brother, Del Swanson. We thank you for giving him to us to know and to love as a companion and friend during our journey here on earth. We pray, Lord, that you might comfort us as we mourn this day. Grant us good memories. Teach us to see death as not an end, but a beginning to life everlasting with you. Make us sensitive to the needs of others. Help us to reach out in love and support for each other this day. And Lord, if you can give us some little insight as to how we can better live our lives more satisfactorily, well, that would be great. So send your spirit now as we remember and honor our friend, Del Swanson. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's join together in singing our opening hymn, Amazing Grace. It's in your red books there, 779. On behalf of Del and Mary, I'd like to welcome you all here. You can tell by, I'm talking like Del's still here. And maybe he is in heaven. On behalf of Mary and the kids, welcome. And Del is here, in each one of us, in our memories, in our thoughts. I shared with the family that he's passed on his genes to the kids and to the grandkids. I reminded the grandkids that you got a big job ahead of you. Everybody's invited to have a little lunch after the service today. The way we stay alive is to share the stories. We'll share a story about Del. We've talked in a lot of different places this week about Dell. I heard that Dell was the best fisherman, and if your fishing has anything to do with getting to heaven, he's in the first row. But sorry, I hear you're not much of a fisherman over here. So work a little harder.
I heard that
if there's anything to be repaired in heaven, Dell's going to be in the shop. And some of us want to be next to him because he was a good worker and he could fix anything. He had a heart and a wisdom about him that was second to none. And for those of you who knew Dell well, you were very, very blessed to be a part of his life. I'd like to read the official obituary. Delmer Swanson, age 75, of Aiken, formerly of St. Paul, died Monday, January 30th, 2012, at his home on Mille Lacs Lake. Delmer was born December 14th, 1936, at Balsam Lake, Wisconsin, son of Alvin and Evelyn Swanson. He grew up and attended schools at Balsam Lake and graduated from the Balsam Lake High School in 1955. He then served in the U.S. Army from June 1, 1955 to March 21, 1957. Upon his discharge, he returned to the family farm and worked there for about a year. He then moved to the Twin Cities. He married Mary Jane Clark. Mary Jane. I didn't know that was your middle name. There's two of you. Yeah. Okay. He married Mary Jane Clark on January 24th, 1959, at the Little Brown Church in Nashua, Iowa. They made their home in St. Paul, and he worked as a carpenter for a time, and then worked for the St. Paul school system as a maintenance supervisor. He then went to work for the St. Paul Fire Department in the same capacity as a maintenance supervisor. Retired on July 1st, 1999, he then moved to Mille Lacs Lake near Aiken and built his retirement home on the lake. He has lived there since. He was a member of Bethesda Lutheran Church of Malmo. He had served on the Wealthwood Township Board since 2005. He was a member of the Wealthwood Rod and Gun Club, a life member of the American Legion, and he was a Romeo. He enjoyed hunting and fishing and thoroughly enjoyed his annual halibut fishing trip to Seward, Alaska. He is survived by his wife, Mary Swanson, son, Michael Swanson of Centerville, daughters, Lori Lee and her husband, John of St. Paul, Jennifer Wanovich. We've got to change that. We'll talk later. Jennifer Wanovich of Hugo, six grandchildren, Jenna, Joshua, Stacy, Andrew, Jacob, and Alexander. He's also survived by two brothers, Alan Swanson of Fridley and John Swanson of Marshfield, four sisters, Elaine Freeman of Bellevue, Washington, Marion Turner of Centuria, Wisconsin, Katie Gruber of Balsam Lake, Wisconsin, and Judy Sarazen of Isanti, Minnesota, and a brother-in-law, Gary Clark of Amory, Wisconsin. He was preceded in death by his parents and a baby sister, Joyce. Now, it always kind of disappoints me that we boil down a man's 75 years into two paragraphs, because he's lived 75 years, and they're going to do the same to you and to me. And so I always like to hear more about a person's life. So I'm going to ask Wally Swenson. He's been asked by Mary to share some thoughts. You're going to tell a fishing story or two, right, Wally? Okay. What you got in that bottle, Wally?
I'm drinking on the job. Good morning. I'm Wally Swenson. Last week, I got a call from Jennifer. This is Dell's youngest daughter. She asked me if I would consider doing the eulogy for her dad. Without hesitation, I said it would be an honor. I reminded her that I get a little emotional She said that would be okay. Then I went and I looked up the definition of eulogy, just to make sure. One of the definitions was a speech or writing in praise of a person, usually depicting their high ethics and good works. That made it easy for me. All I had to do was tell the truth. Bevan and I bought our place on the north shore of Mille Lacs in 1986. I met Dell on the flats searching for perch in the wintertime. He had a cabin next door to Wally Weber, and they fished a lot together. Denny Meidlinger, Wally, and Dell all worked together in the building trade for many, many years. Denny and Dell did a great deal of fishing and hunting together. Denny related this story to me about a deer hunting trip in the Nemadji State Forest. They were hunting at 40th and Plum. That's 40 miles from nothing, plumb back in the sticks. Mike, Dell's son, had a friend along. They put this lad on a stand and told him to stay there until they came and got him. About noon, it started to snow, and then the wind picked up, and they found themselves in a raging blizzard. When they went back to get the kid, of course, he was not there. That's not good. They fired distress shots in the air, but the wind was so strong they couldn't hear the answering shots. It so happened the lad shot up all his shells. They continued searching, hanging a lantern from a tall tree and building fires. About 8 o'clock, they contacted the authorities and were told nothing could be done until morning, when they could send up a helicopter. The group went back and continued searching. About midnight, Dell stepped out of the camper, and because the wind was in the right direction, heard the lad. I believe his name is John. John was found. He had waded across a 4-foot deep Nemadji River without waders. His clothes were frozen stiff. His rifle was lost, a classic case of hypothermia. They got him to a hospital, and thank God everything worked out all right. I was told John turned out to be an avid and experienced hunter, a good end to what could have been a tragic story. Denny and Dell worked together to build each other's retirement homes. Wally Weber did the electrical work, and Ted Jazak the concrete work. I got to know Dell better after they joined the church in 2000. Bev and Mary were quilters together, and that seemed to draw us closer. Whenever Mary had Dell build a quilt in her sewing gadget, she would have him make several more for her buddies. Dell and Dick Grip had been fishing in Alaska with Dick's friend Dave Mastell. I mentioned one time, if an opening should happen, I'd be interested in going. That opening finally happened. There were 18 of us on that trip, and the only person I knew was Dell. We had 3 motorhomes, 6 people per unit. 6 guys in a motorhome for 8 days, when it rains every day, gets to be a long time. Dell got the idea that he could form his own little group, so he did. Dell was a great organizer and a good planner. He planned and booked all our trips. I believe I was on 9 or 10 trips with Dell and his older brother, Al. I asked Al, who's 4 years older, if there was any sibling rivalry. He couldn't remember any, except that his younger brothers thought Al got all the good stuff and they got the hand-me-downs. He did mention a mud ball fight that escalated into a rock throwing after they ran out of mud balls. He also mentioned something about a tractor getting out of control and getting damaged or damaging something else. I think they tipped it over. They had to scramble to get it fixed before Dad found out. I'd like to hear the rest of that story. Dell was on the building committee for the construction of our new fellowship hall and Sunday school rooms. Doug Kloss, the chairman of the building committee, told me Dell's contribution and expertise was invaluable to this project. This committee didn't sit in a conference room and study blueprints. They were boots on the ground, sleeves rolled up, and calluses on their hands kind of guys. Doug commented on a saying in the construction industry that when they had to fudge on something, they would say, "What's the difference? We're not building a church." In this case, when they had to modify or improvise, they would say, "What's the difference? We're not building a watch." Dell was also on the church property committee. Between Dell and Dick Grip, they kept the lawn equipment in operation and any other repair in the church. When someone wasn't signed up to mow for the week, they would fill in and do that also. I bought some property in 2002 and decided to try my hand at making maple syrup. I had learned some stuff from helping Steve Felogy in previous years. I never asked Dell to help. He just volunteered. It was just normal for him to get out there and tap trees, haul wood, or carry in empty sap buckets. This is hard work. Carrying 2 5-gallon buckets of sap through deep snow and hidden branches is not easy. One year, Dell and Jimmy Mateer decided to give me a little test. We ran out of buckets while they were tapping trees, and I started back to the cook shack to get some more. As I was driving back, I was counting the taps without buckets hanging on the trees when something didn't look right. I stopped, backed up, and took another look. They had tapped a basswood tree. When I turned back to see what they were doing, they were doubled up in laughter. They remembered the story of my first year of sapping. Steve Felogy came out to the woods to check out my operation. He looked around and commented, "Are you making coffee?" I said, "No, I have beer and pop." "Why do you ask?" "Because that's a butternut tree over there you've tapped." No wonder I didn't get much sap out of that tree. I'm more observant now. Dell didn't shy away from politics. He ran for and got elected to a position on the township board. Wherever he could be of help to his fellow man, he was there. I was packing a bag for a fishing trip a couple of weeks ago and ran across an itinerary of a fishing trip we had made in 2005. Something struck my eye. One sentence read, "There will be 6 gentlemen on this trip." Thank you, Dell, for including us in your category of gentlemen. You, my friend, were truly a gentleman. I never heard you use a curse word or badmouth a person. You were a man of character, and from spending some time the last few weeks with your family, I can see the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. You are a good role model, and we are all richer just for knowing you. I realize I have mentioned the names of many, many people. You were a people person. I can visualize you in heaven and God saying, "Well done, loyal and faithful friend. Well done. You will be missed." Thank you.
Yeah, well done yourself, Wally. That was good. Boots on the ground, especially. The way Dell will live is through our stories, through our memories. And so today at the meal, share stories and share your memories. Picked out a couple of verses from the scripture to read this morning. First is the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then from the 6th chapter of St. Matthew, Jesus is speaking the Sermon on the Mount, and he tells us to trust in him and not to worry. He says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you should eat or what you should drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O men of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. The word of God, the word of life. I'm going to ask Randy, would you sing us You Are Mine now, please?
will call your name, embracing all your pain. Stand up now and walk and live. Do not be afraid, I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me, I will bring you home. I love you, and you
thanks, Randy. That was really good. That reminds us that we come from God, we return to God, and in between is an ordinary life. You really had a bad week. You lose your dog and you lose your husband. I've got a dog, Bear. My old Bear has taught me a lot of things. The one thing that I learned from him, the other night we were having pork chops, and he always likes a little scrap or the bone afterwards. Don't tell my wife, because I sneak him the bone, okay? Anyway, this is what I've learned from my dog, Bear. I'll put the bone down, and Bear is just a little mini poodle, okay? And he's learned not to go for the bone until I give him the command. And what he does is he keeps his eyes on me. And he doesn't look at that bone because that's too much temptation. And he'll keep his eyes on the master. And pretty soon, if I let him sit there long enough, juice starts coming out of his mouth. But he'll stay there and stay there until I say, okay, go for it, Bear. He concentrates on the master. There's a story in Scripture about Peter and the gang going out fishing in the Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee is about the same size as Lake Mille Lacs, freshwater lake. They got fish in there that are called St. Peter's fish. They're like big crappies, okay? That's the fish in the Sea of Galilee. Those guys were out. The storm starts coming up. Jesus wasn't with them. Kind of a foggy night, and the story goes that Jesus was walking on water. And Peter, he's a big lumbering oaf. We call him St. Peter, but even oafs can be saints, you know. St. Peter says, can I come out and walk with you? Jesus says, come on, walk. And Peter, I can imagine him looking around. Holy smokes, I'm going to walk on water. We do that every winter, but he doesn't have ice. He gets out of the boat and he starts walking, and the waves start getting bigger and the wind starts coming up, and he starts looking at the waves, and he starts sinking. And Jesus reaches down and pulls him up. He took his eyes off the master. The Israelites, about 1250 B.C., were released from slavery in Egypt. They were wandering across the wilderness. God had promised them that they could go to the land of milk and honey. But they sat for a generation before going over the River Jordan into the land of milk and honey, because they had sent out 12 spies into the land. God had promised them the land. 10 of the spies came back and said, there's giants over there, we can't go. So they just sat and camped and denied themselves the opportunity to go to the land of milk and honey, the land that God had promised them. Two spies, Joshua and Caleb, says, hey, God has promised us the land, and you guys have concentrated on the giants and the other stuff instead of the promises of God. They took their eyes off the master. They were looking at the wrong thing. When life turns tough, like today and like the days ahead, the promise from Scripture, the reminder from Scripture, is to keep our eyes on the master. That's why I liked that song, Randy. because it reminds us that God has called us. God has created us. God loves us. God has forgiven us. We're okay. Each one of us here today is loved and is okay. Now, that being said, we're all sinners and we all fall short. And everyone here fights their own demons, and you know what that is. Everyone here has those things that we fight. But God still loves us, and the promise is for us. And so in those difficult times, we're reminded through the ages to keep your eyes on the Master, and He'll bring you through it. No one likes going through these dark times, though. When we played that opening song, the part that really tugged at my heartstrings was when they talked about everyone needs that dog. That's where the dog part got me. I says, yeah, everybody needs a dog. But you've got two things you're fighting, Mary. I feel for you. You've got a lot of friends. You've got a wonderful family. You had a wonderful husband. You knew his demons, though, and he had them. We speak on today all the good things. And it's good to remember the good things, but there were some little things there that he was fighting too, just like you do and I do. We were over building, putting the siding on the parsonage. And pretty soon they were just slapping the stuff up on the walls. And they were, last day, it was like 4 or 5 days, putting them up. And one guy says, good enough for who it's for. And they were looking at me because it was the parsonage. I said, that ain't my house, that's God's house. You know, Wally, you talked about like a watch, huh? Good enough for who it's for. Woo, you better straighten up, boys. I mentioned in the obituary that he was a Romeo. Romeo, there's 20, 25 guys that meet on Thursday mornings here. We do a little study, and we only have one rule. That is, we always tell the truth unless it's talking about hunting or fishing. In the years that I've been working with these retired guys, studying and praying and sharing and learning about each other, as I look at these retired guys, and Dell was one of them, the biggest fear that comes from them, and this is just my casual observation, is that they're afraid of not doing something for which they will be remembered. They will be forgotten. Biggest fear. They don't fear pain. They don't fear death. They don't fear, but they want to be remembered. And so I've been thinking about this and trying to figure out how do we best live our lives. And from what I've learned from the Romeos, and Dell was one of those, I find that we will be remembered in the work we have done, the acts of kindness we have performed, the love we have given and the love we have received. The people who will smile when they remember me, when they remember Dell, and the children and the grandchildren through whom our name and memory will be perpetuated. That's where we have to make our lives count. And Dell did that. I have cherished, and I'd like to commend to you the words from Ralph Waldo Emerson, who was a very wise man. This is what he said. He said, to leave the world a bit better, whether by healthy child, a garden patch, or a redeemed social condition, to know that even one life has breathed easier because of you, because you have lived, that is to have succeeded in life. And so Dell and Mary have weaved it's kind of like weaving a cloth. And I get a picture it was nice hearing you getting married in the little brown church, you know. Is that what it was? The little brown church in the countryside? It started there. You started weaving your life together. And then you weaved your children in there. And you weaved the outlaws in there. And you weaved the neighbors in there. and you're weaving this legacy that you are leaving. And we all do that. Your legacy, Dell's legacy, is strong and powerful and brings hope and comforting. And thank God for that. And I hope that we find encouragement by Dell's example. You said it right, Wally. He has set a fine example for the rest of us. So blessed be the memory of Dell Swanson. He lived well. He died well. He set the pace for me, and I hope for you. It was a pleasure to know him. Amen. Randy, why don't you sing for us On Eagle's Wings? Thank you, Randy. The congregation, please rise. Please join me in prayer. At the end of each petition, I would close by, Lord, in your mercy, and your response should be, hear our prayer. Be with us this day, O Lord, as we come to say goodbye to Del Swanson. We thank you for Del's love and care in our lives. We need your love today, Lord, and we need your strength. Lord, in your mercy, we remember your promises, Heavenly Father. For it was on a day like this when your Son raised Lazarus from the dead. It was on a day like this when your Son rose from the tomb, visited with family and friends. And so today, we come to say farewell to the earthly life of Del Swanson. On a day like this, we pray that he is with you in your heavenly kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. And today we praise you for the victory that has been won for Del, and the victory that has been won for us, for we who are baptized and believe. Fill us always with a resurrection faith. Give us strength and courage to stand for the right and do what is good. Make us sensitive to the needs of others and allow us to live our lives well. Lord, in your mercy. Fill us this special moment with your love, Lord. Grant us your heavenly wisdom as we seek to understand your ways. Grant us a vision of life eternal as your Spirit comes to us this day. Heal us in our heart hurts and in our sorrows, and bless us with your presence now and in the days to come. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for the many blessings you have granted to us. We ask your blessing to be with us and with our family, wherever they find themselves, and with our friends. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, who gave his life as a sacrifice for us, who taught us how to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And so into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant, Del Swanson. Acknowledge, we humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive him into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn 817, You Have Come Down to the Lake Shore. And then let us go forth in peace.